that can cleanse my guilt and pride. Blood of Christ the crucified.
Unleavened Bread Ministries presents
From Your Hands, Your Feet, Your Side.
Unleavened Bread Bible Studies with David Eales.
Can quench my thirsting soul. Purest water made me whole. Let Your streams of mercy flow, O Jesus, I trust in You.
God bless you, saints. Thank you for joining us for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. You know, we've been talking about perfection through Christ. And I'd like to continue with that. I'd like to talk about bearing fruit. One thing we have learned up to this point is that we were sanctified. We were perfected. You know, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14 says, by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. But we shall be manifested in these things. We receive these things by position in Christ. He has given us sanctification and perfection in Christ Jesus. That's our position in Christ. And now we need to cooperate with God to manifest what we've received by faith. Faith is the substance of the thing hoped for, while the evidence is not yet seen. We want the evidence to be made manifest. We want it to be manifested in our life so that Christ can live through us to this world, right? Well, while we're studying that, I'd like to look at Luke chapter 8 and read a little bit of this, the parable of the sower. Lots of times I study the parable of the sower out of Matthew 13, but I want to try Luke this time. Verse 4 says, Jesus said, and when a great multitude came together, they of every city resorted unto him, and he spake by a parable. The sower went forth to sow his seed, and he sowed. Some seeds fell by the wayside, and it was trodden underfoot, and the birds of the heaven devoured it, and others fell by the rock, and as soon as it grew, it withered away because it had no moisture. And others fell amidst the thorns, and thorns grew with it and choked it. And others fell into the good ground and grew and brought forth fruit 100-fold. And he said, these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him what this parable might be. And he said, unto you it's given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. And those by the wayside are they that have heard, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word from their hearts, that they may not believe and be saved. And those on the rock are those who, when they have heard, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who for a while believe, and in a time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among the thorns, these are they that have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. So obviously we're talking about the manifestation of perfection. This is the purpose of the whole parable, is to bring fruit to perfection. Notice they had, even though they were receiving the seed, they didn't bring the fruit to perfection. In verse 15, and that in the good ground, these are such as in an honest and a good heart, having heard the word, hold it fast and bring forth fruit with patience. They bring forth fruit to perfection. Glory to God. Well, that's our hope, isn't it? That the Lord himself will manifest his fruit in us. Notice it's the seed that brings forth the fruit of perfection. It's not us. It's the seed in us. It's the word in us. The Word has power. The seed is the Word of God. And notice one of the points is that we have to hold it fast. Hold fast the seed. You know, if we see that the seed is being sown in the heart here in verse 11, and the seed is the Word of God, it's sown in the heart, and if the heart holds it fast, it will bring forth fruit unto perfection. Right? Well, notice that also in verse 12, he says, and those by the wayside are they that have heard, and then cometh the devil and taketh away the word from their heart, that they may not believe and be saved. Takes it away. The word is not held fast so that it bears fruit. In other words, this is a miscarrying womb. The heart is the womb that brings forth the fruit. Just like the womb of a woman has to hold fast the seed in order for that seed to come to birth, so to speak. You know, I mean, we're told basically that's in 1 John 3. Let me read that to you. Verse 9. Whosoever is begotten of God, the word begotten here is the same word for born. Whosoever is born of God doeth no sin, because his seed abideth in him. In other words, it stays. It's being held fast. It abideth in him. He cannot sin because he is born of God. So when the seed abides, it can come to birth. It can bring the fruit to perfection, and it can come to birth. And we know, since the seed is the Word of God and Jesus is the Word of God, that the fruit that is born unto us is Christ in us, the hope of glory. Christ manifested in his people. We know that we were perfected at the cross, that his life was given for ours, and that we don't live anymore. Christ lives in us by faith. But as we hold fast the promise in the midst of the many trials — they could be trials of riches, they could be trials of temptations, they could be, you know, the different things that are listed here — as we hold on to the word in the midst of the trial, that word will bear fruit. Many times in the trial, our mind wants to revert back to the things of the world. Our mind wants to walk by sight instead of by faith. But in the trial, we have opportunity to hold on to the word and not turn it loose, so that it bears the same fruit of Jesus Christ in us. The same faith, the same miraculous power, the same sanctifying power manifested through his saints. You know, when we're in the midst of the trial, we are tempted to go back to our old thinking. But what we have to do is what 2 Corinthians 10 and 5 says, is cast down these imaginations. And what? Every imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of what? God's Word. That's the whole point. Hold fast to the Word. Cast down everything else. Cast down the seed of the devil, which is his Word. Cast it down. Cast it out of our mind. See? We only want one seed. Only one seed can bring forth the fruit of Christ. That's the only seed we want to accept. And we have to hold fast to it. Because the devil is seeking to take away the seed that's been sown in our heart. He desperately has to do that, or we will bear fruit and it will be too late. We have to hold fast, right? When you're in the fiery trial and you know what the promise is, remember, that promise is the seed that you have to hold to in order to bear the fruit, right? And we don't want to have a spiritually miscarrying womb. Remember, Jesus said that his words, they are spirit and they are life. John 6 and 63. His words are spirit and they are life. Any other word besides the Word of God, it is also spirit and it is also life, but it's not the spirit and life of Christ. And so we don't want another life. We don't want to have strange children. As the prophet spoke, you know, they have borne strange children. You know, they have to look like the father, right? If you have a child that looks strangely different from the father, you wonder, now whose seed is this? It wasn't the seed of the father, right? Well, so it is today, folks. We read the scriptures in order to become familiar with the Father. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. In other words, he himself manifested his Father. He was a seed that was in line with his Father. And we have to also be a seed. The fruit in us has to also be a seed that's in line with our Father, right? And there are in Leviticus 19, there is an example, I think, of this that points this out pretty well. In verse 19, it says, you shall keep my statutes. Thou shalt not let thy cattle gender with a diverse kind. In other words, each seed brings forth after its own kind. We don't want a mixture here, right? And then it goes on to say, thou shalt not sow thy field with two kinds of seed. Two kinds of seed. I remember my father-in-law telling me one time about how he planted a row of hot peppers too close to a row of bell peppers. And his bell peppers became hot. He had hot bell peppers. Of course, when you want bell peppers, you want bell peppers. You don't want hot bell peppers, you know. I can imagine in some cases hot bell peppers might be pretty handy, you know. But if you want bell peppers, you want bell peppers. And, of course, what the Father is looking for is Jesus. He's not interested in anything else. What he's planted in his field, he wants Christ. No one hath ascended into heaven but he that descended out of heaven, you see. The Lord wants Jesus. So, we don't want two kinds of seed sowed in our field because this is going to be a mixture. It's not going to be the fruit of Christ. Any mixture takes away from the fruit of Christ. And he goes on to say, neither shall there come upon thee a garment of two kinds of stuff mingled together. Yeah, that's a good example of putting on Christ and putting on something else. We put on the Lord Jesus Christ and we don't make provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. The problem is making sure that the seed is the seed, the true seed of the Father, which is the Word of God, and making sure that we hold fast to the seed and make sure that we don't have a spiritual miscarrying womb. And Leviticus 15 speaks about that in verse 19, another 19 here. Okay, and it says, if a woman have an issue and her issue in her flesh be blood. Notice that. It doesn't say in her body. It says in her flesh. It mentions that purposely. If a woman have an issue and her issue in her flesh be blood, she shall be in her impurity 7 days. And whosoever toucheth her shall be unclean until the even. Now, this is a parable, folks. There's nothing unclean about the natural thing that this is speaking about. It's just natural. But it is very unclean, the spiritual revelation that's hidden here. See, God, everything that happened unto them was for our admonition upon whom the ends of the ages are come. And they're for types and shadows, 1 Corinthians 10 and 11 teaches. So what we see here is something concerning a miscarrying womb. Because you know that the issue of blood, what it does is, first of all, what is that blood? The blood is our nature. The Bible says in Leviticus 17 and 11 that the life of the flesh is in the blood. The life, the nature, the soul. The word is soul. It's translated in the New Testament sometimes nature. Your nature has been passed on to you through the blood of your parents. It's the whole problem we're fighting against. It is our enemy. The nature of the old man is our enemy. It's fighting against us. It's struggling with us. And there's a war going on. Okay? But the blood of Jesus represents his life, his nature, his soul. And bearing fruit is to bear the fruit of the spirit and soul of Christ in us. That is what bearing the fruit is. That is what the Word manifesting in us is all about. And now we see here that if a woman has an issue of blood in her flesh, that this is impurity. This is an impurity. Why? Well, because the blood of the old life washes away the seed, and the seed doesn't bear fruit. The woman is not fertile. In fact, she's not fertile. It says here she'll be impure for 7 days. She's not going to be fertile until the eighth day. The eighth day is a new beginning, right? So, we see here that in a spiritual way, women, it's not talking about natural women either. It's talking about sects and divisions of God's people, as the Scripture speaks about them. 7 women shall take hold of 1 man in that day, saying, let us eat our own bread and wear our own apparel, but just let us be called by thy name, Isaiah chapter 4 says. Those women are the 7 churches. Women can also be local churches. It talks about in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 5. It says, holding a form of godliness, but having denied the power thereof, from these also turn away. For of these are they that creep into houses and take captive silly women, laden with sins, led away by divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So they're studying, studying, studying. They're receiving seed, but they're never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Happens all the time. Silly women, the Scripture calls them. These sects of God's people that don't grow up in Him. They're led captive by these men, you know. And, well, let's go back there in Luke 15. Look, it says she'll be impure for 7 days. You know, Jesus said of the Jews, said to the Jews in Matthew 15, He said, you make of no effect the word of God by your traditions. See, the blood of the woman here represents her carnal nature. By it, she rejects the seed of Christ, the word of God, the seed that is to bring forth the life and nature and fruit of the husband. Okay? And the Jews were doing just that. They were like a menstruous woman who was not going to bring forth fruit because their old nature had determined that they walk after their traditions, those things that were pleasing to their natural life, those things that were pleasing to their flesh. And so when the Word of God, which in some cases is crucifying to the old man, comes along, they reject it. It's washed away by their own nature. They reject it. Jesus rebuked them. And he told him, he said, it's not what goes in the same chapter. He said, it's not what goes into a man's mouth that defiles him. What comes out of his mouth that defiles him? Their thinking was coming out of their mouth. That was what was defiling them because they were rejecting the true word of God. They were making of no effect the word of God by their tradition. They were making the seed ineffectual in bringing forth any fruit, you see. And the word here for unclean is the same as the word defile. Okay? Let me read verse 19 again. If a woman have an issue and her issue in her flesh be blood, she shall be in her impurity 7 days, and whoso toucheth her shall be unclean until the evening. Unclean here is the same word for defiled. Right? Remember Revelation 14 and 4. The first fruits unto God and the Lamb. It says they were not defiled with women. This is what it's talking about. They were not defiled with those sects of God's people who were rejecting the true seed of God. Were not holding fast the word. Were washing it away with their own unclean, fallen nature. The life of the flesh is in the blood. See? So, as we read on down, we see in verse 24, and if any man lieth with her, and her impurity be upon him, he shall be unclean 7 days. Well, we know who it is that lieth with these women, right? It is those that are supposed to be sowing the seed of the Lord. You know, Paul said, you have not many fathers, I begat you through the gospel. In other words, Paul sowed the seed of the Lord God. And it brought forth the fruit of Jesus in those early disciples. And so on. But we see here that those that lie with a woman who is not willing to give up her old life to give fruitful ground or fertile ground to the seed, then that man's unclean too. We just read it in Timothy chapter 3. Take captive silly women, laden with sins, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And we also read it in Luke chapter 8, because Jesus said, basically, unto them it's not given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. You know what Jesus wasn't going to do? He wasn't going to sow the seed in that infertile ground. He wasn't going to give the true word of God to these people who had no respect for it and would just wash it away, like throwing pearls before swine. He wasn't going to give it to them. It's that same way today, folks. The true word of God will not be received by many apostate Christians, and you waste your time trying to give it to them. And they will disrespect God's word, and they will cast it to the ground. And so, she's going to stay in her impurity, and the man that sows it in her is going to stay in his impurity 7 days. I want to tell you that these people have the funny idea that they're going to escape. They're going to fly away. They're going to miss the 7 days of the tribulation. They're not going to do it, folks. Look at verse 28. And if she be cleansed of her issue, then she shall number to herself 7 days, and after that she shall be clean. So look, folks, we're coming to the time when people need to be cleansed so that at the end of the 7 days they be ready to meet the Lord. And after that she shall be clean. And it goes on to say, and on the 8th day, she shall take unto her 2 turtle doves, or 2 young pigeons, and bring them unto the priest to the door of the tent of the meeting. And the priest shall offer the one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering. And the priest shall make atonement for her before the Lord for the issue of her uncleanness. Verse 31. Then shall you separate the children of Israel from their uncleanness, that they die not in their uncleanness when they defile, there it is again, my tabernacle that is in the midst of them. Now we're getting down to it. See, folks, we're talking about defiling a tabernacle here, a body of God's people, a temporary temple of God's people. Okay, defiling. And how? It's because they've cast the word of God to the ground. They have been caught up in the traditions of men. Their own opinions and their ideas are more important to them than receiving the seed of the word. And they are defiled. And I'm reminded of Isaiah 32, which verse 9 says, rise up, ye women that are at ease. Hear my voice, you careless daughters, give ear unto my speech. For days beyond a year shall you be troubled, you careless women. For the vintage shall fail, the ingathering shall not come. Ingathering harvest that they're all expecting to be at the beginning of the 7 days won't come until the end of the 7 days. Why? Because they're defiled. The vintage did not bear fruit, you see. Tremble, you women that are at ease. Be troubled, you careless ones. Strip you and make you bare. In other words, take off those mixed garments, you know, and gird sackcloth upon your loins. And when does he say they're going to bear fruit? Verse 15, until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness become a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be esteemed as a forest. The wilderness is called the tribulation in Revelation 12 and Revelation 17. So you see, folks, these women that are defiled, the first fruits in Revelation 14 was not defiled with women. Those women have to go through the great tribulations in order to be purified. And God's plan is going to be fulfilled. For those of you that are walking in the cleanness now, that's great. You know, and praise be to God when you come to respect God's word above your own thinking, the thinking of men, the traditions of men, because that's what it's going to take. It has to be a pure word. You know, Jesus said in John 8 and 23, he said, "You are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, and I am not of this world." You see, we can't have the mixture of two seeds in our field. It can only be one seed that's going to be bringing forth the fruit of Jesus Christ. You remember the parable of the wheat and the tares. The word there for seed is the word sperma, letting you know that this is not just talking about plants here. The word sperma is what's going to bring forth this wheat, you see. Didn't you sow good seed in your field? The word sperma is there. Well, who sowed this tares among the wheat? An enemy hath done this, Jesus said. Matthew 13, right? Two seeds sowed in the same fields, not supposed to be. And the field he's talking about is in the kingdom of God on this earth, you see. But in our life, it's up to us to make sure we cast down the bad seed. Every imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And receive only, hold fast to the good seed, because the good seed will bring forth the birth. Back in Luke chapter 8, I'd like to go on just a little bit. We're told in verse 15 that in the good ground these are such as in an honest and a good heart, having heard the word, hold it fast and bring forth fruit with patience. Now I pointed out to you that in the parable of the wheat and the tares, the Lord used the word sperma, you know, which is a sperma only brings forth after the nature of the Father. So that's using a human equation here. Now, Jesus does the same thing in this chapter. He uses it down in verse 21. "And he answered and said unto them, My mother and my brethren are these that hear the word of God and do it." Now, you remember Jesus sharing that in Matthew chapter 7, that those who build their house on the rock are those that hear these words of mine and do them. And he said that the wind and the rain and the storm that comes will not tear that house down because it's built on a rock. Those are hearers of the word and doers of the word. In other words, to be Jesus' brother, you must be from the same father and through the same mother. And to be his mother, you must bear the same fruit. You must bear the fruit of Jesus Christ. If we are his mother, his fruit must be born in us. We must hold fast to the seed of the word of God so that his fruit will be born in us. And, you know, the disciples came to him and they said, "Your mother and your brethren are standing without. They want to talk to you." He said, "Who is my mother and my brethren?" See, this is who. He always wanted to bring things on a spiritual level, you see. Who is my mother and my brethren? These that hear the word of God and do it. And another time in Luke 11, there was a woman that came to Jesus who was on a natural level too. Which really, the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. And verse 27, "It came to pass that he said these things, a certain woman out of the multitude lifted up her voice and said unto him, Blessed is the womb that bare thee and the breasts which thou didst suck. And he said, Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." He was bringing it on. In other words, this woman could have been a Mariolater, in our day, a Mariolatry in our day. You know, she made it was important about who was the physical mother of Jesus. And Jesus said, no, that's not important. It's not important because God could have picked anybody to do that because she was the mother of his flesh, you know, not the mother of his spiritual man. Okay. So the important thing is that this parable is fulfilled in us in our day. Who is it that's important to bring forth Christ? It's those that hear the word of God and keep it. So when we think about the mother of Jesus, and Jesus applies this to us, I think if we go to Isaiah chapter 7, we will see this parable. And we're told in verse 14, the Lord said, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The word sign here is the word uth, and it means omen, which is a sign of something to come. Now, this is the sign of something to come. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son. How is it that Mary was a sign of something to come? Number one, she was a virgin. There was no seed of man. It was the seed of God that brought forth the fruit of Jesus Christ in her. Now, we see in Revelation chapter 12, what appears to be a virtuous woman with the 12 stars around her head, standing on the moon, in other words, reflecting the light of the sun. And she's clothed with the sun. She has put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And she's bringing forth or birthing the man-child, Jesus. Okay. Well, the man-child and Jesus. Jesus is coming in his man-child, right? So she's birthing the man-child. Would you say that that woman must be a virgin? Well, yes, if she is to fulfill the type and the shadow, she has to be a group of people who are rejecting the word of man. They're rejecting the seed or sperma of man. She must be a virgin. So therefore, folks, in these end times, there is a group of people that is going to be, at the time of the birthing of the man-child, rejecting the seed of man. Wow. Okay. Well, there's two things about that little parable in Revelation 12. One is, I think, that it's individual, and one is corporate. Each one of us, as the mother of Christ, must be rejecting the seed of man. What man has to say, man has to think, what this man that we walk in thinks and believes with his sight and with his feelings and so on and so forth. We have to reject those things to believe and to stand on and to hold fast to only the word of God so that it bears fruit, you see. Corporately, there is a body of people who are rejecting at this time the words of man, the seed of man, and they will bring forth a corporate man-child as the first fruits of those that walk in the steps of Jesus Christ in these coming days. Okay? So we see here that this sign is that they have to be a virgin. And she shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And of course, Emmanuel means God with us. God with us. And, you know, Jesus wasn't just with them. He's just as much with us. He is still Emmanuel, God with us. In fact, every Christian carries Jesus as God with them because they're all pregnant with Jesus. They have all been pregnant with Jesus because of the Word of God, which they highly respect and they hold fast to. They're going to bring forth his fruit. Now, if we read in Luke chapter 1, we see the story of Mary, which is that sign. Okay, Luke chapter 1. Let's read that. You remember the angel Gabriel came and appeared unto Mary, and he said to her in verse 28, Hail, thou that art highly favored or endued with grace. That's what it actually means. You're endued with grace. And it says in the original, the Lord is with thee. In the numerics, it says, the Lord is with thee. Okay. Well, that's very similar to what we saw about Emmanuel, right? God with us. The word Lord here is the word Kyrios, which is Lord or Master. We've used all through the New Testament, Lord or Master. The Lord, who is God with us, okay, is being fulfilled through the type and shadow of Mary in His church, in His people. Because everyone who hears and does the Word of God is like Mary. They are like His mother. Okay? And He says in verse 30, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, found grace with God." Yes, Mary wasn't the person that a lot of religions, Mariolatry religions, want to make her out to be. She had to have grace. She had to be saved. She had to be filled with the Spirit. And she had other children after Jesus, after she fulfilled this type. She is not the person that people want to make her out to be. Well, it goes on to say, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb." This is the word of the Lord going forth through the angel Gabriel, God's leading messenger angel. And the word of the Lord says, "Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus," which means that Jehovah is salvation, right? So, this is God with us. The promise to Mary as the mother of Jesus was that she would bear the fruit of Jesus. This was the promise. And that's the promise to us too, folks. The Bible says the same thing about us, that we will bear His fruit. Okay. Now, it goes on to say, "He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." Once again, folks, a first fruit's coming forth in this day who will sit in the throne of David. It is Jesus Christ in a body of David, just like happened in Luke at that time. Okay, "And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. And Mary said unto the angel, how can this thing be, seeing I know not a man?" Well, there it is. You see, she had not known a man. It was not a man's seed that would bring forth this Son of God, obviously. Each seed brings forth after its own kind. If it's the seed of man, the only thing she could have would be man. You know, Jesus said, "You are from beneath. I am from above." He is born from above, you see. No seed of man can bring forth anything from above. And so she knew not a man. She was a virgin. "And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power, or dunamis, of the Most High shall overshadow thee. Wherefore also," and it says in the numerics, "that which is to be born shall be called holy, the Son of God." And that's a better translation than what I have in the text, okay? "And that which is begotten shall be called the Son of God." And verse 36 says, "And behold, Elizabeth, thy kinswoman, she also hath conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her that was called barren." And then verse 37 is very enlightening, especially if you see it in the original wording here. It says, "For no word from God shall be void of power." You see, Mary had a word from God, a word that by itself could bring forth in her the Son of God. Now, I know some translations say nothing shall be impossible with God, you see. And but the word here is no word, no rhema. It's the word translated word everywhere else. Why would they say nothing? See, no rhema from God shall be ad dunateo, void of power. Impossible does not represent the original wording there. So it says, "For no word from God shall be void of power." And everything that God says has the power. It is the seed. Like the seed has the power to bring forth itself in in a fertile womb, so the Word of God in our heart has power to bring forth Jesus Christ in us. It is His sperma. It has the power. All we have to do is give it fertile ground. That's all, you see. And so we are merry if we do give it fertile ground. The Word of God, which comes down out of heaven, which is not from man, see, give it fertile ground. And what did Mary say? She said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." In other words, she was in agreement with the Word of God. "Let it be so, Lord, just as you say. I agree with that. I accept that, Lord." And so, you know, in many people today, they're just washing the seed away. They say, they argue with the Word of God. They think they have a right to have their own opinion. We don't have a right to have our own opinion. We're dead, you see. Dead men don't have their own opinion. We died with Christ, and He now lives in us. We have His opinion. We believe what He says. And Mary was in agreement with the word that came from the Lord. Well, every word from God is powerful. See, it has the power to bring forth what it says. And the angel departed from her. She said, "Be it unto me according to thy rhema." And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in these days, and she went to the hill country with haste into the city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias, and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass, when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she lifted up her voice and she, with a loud cry, and said, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb." And of course, the same is true today. Blessed is the fruit of the womb of this natural life that brings forth the fruit of Christ, right? "And whence is that to me that the mother of my Lord should come unto me? Behold, when the voice of thy salutation came into mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a fulfillment of the things which have been spoken unto her from the Lord." So, the things that were spoken unto her from the Lord, the word of God shall not be void of power. And because she believed, there shall be a fulfillment of the word of God. All of these words of God, many Christians believe that these words of God are just naturally going to be fulfilled. Well, you know what? Not if you don't have faith. I mean, these words are nothing without faith. See, the word of God has power, but she had to agree. And just like was prophesied to her by the word of the Lord, "Blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a fulfillment of the thing which was spoken unto her from the Lord." Yes, the Lord says, "By one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." But there may never be a fulfillment of that for you unless you believe like Mary. You're giving fertile ground to the seed. The seed will bear fruit when you agree with it and when you accept it and you walk by faith in it. It will bear fruit. So we fight a battle with the devil, who has an ally working with him and against us. It's the old carnal nature. The devil can steal the seed because he has agreement in the carnal nature, which washes the seed away. It won't let that seed be held fast so that it can bear fruit. See? And so we're like Mary if we hold to the Word of God. I like 2 Thessalonians 1 and 10. "When he shall come to be glorified in his saints and marveled at in all them that believed, because our testimony unto you was believed." Why? Our testimony unto you was believed. Jesus is coming to be glorified in his people because that testimony of Christ in you, the hope of glory, will be believed in that day, it says. And when was this spoken? Second Thessalonians chapter 1 is talking about right before the time of the coming of the Lord. Look at the text, you see. So right before the time of the coming of the Lord, God's people are once again going to believe in the gospel that's been spoken to the woman church. And remember what Jesus said, be it unto you according to your faith. As you have believed, so shall it be unto you. Do you believe that the seed of the promise of the Word of God can bring forth Jesus Christ in you? If you do, it will happen. If you don't believe that you can be perfect, and we hear that all the time in the churches, there's no such verse. But we're going to read over and over and over in the Bible what it has to say about perfection before we're through with this teaching. And what we've got to agree with is, okay, Lord, you said it, I believe it. If at the cross you perfected me forever, as Hebrews 10 says, then I accept that word. Be it unto thy handmaid as unto the word of the Lord. Believe it, receive it. Folks, if God says it, it's yours. When you believe it, blessed is she that believes, for there shall be a fulfillment of the thing which is spoken unto her from the Lord. We believe it, we receive it. Now, if you look in Colossians chapter 1, I want to read this. It says in verse 25, whereof I was made a minister according to the dispensation, or the word is actually stewardship, according to the stewardship of God, which was given me to you, word, to fulfill the word of God. In other words, even though God has made this promise, he sends forth ministers to share the truth of this revelation with you, just like this messenger came to Mary, a minister is a messenger too, see, comes to you with the same message of Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, when you believe that, blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a fulfillment of the thing that was spoken unto her from the Lord. Some people say, well, I don't believe that. We don't believe that. We believe we're sinners saved by grace. Now, that's not in the Bible. That's a tradition. That's not in the Bible. Okay. What is in the Bible is that he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. So, sanctified means separated from the world. You're separated from the world. If you are separated from the world, then believe what God says, you see. So he says, a dispensation of God or a stewardship of God, which was given me to you, were to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which has been hidden for ages and generations, but now have been made manifest to his saints. So in the time of Paul, the revelation, the wonderful revelation that he's about to share was made known. And I want to tell you that they lost it shortly after that, and in our day, once again, it's being made known. And what is that wonderful revelation? Verse 27, to whom God was pleased to make known what the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We have no hope of glory outside of Christ in us. The seed brings forth the fruit of Jesus Christ. We, this the part of us that was original, this old man, this old life, is just the dirt in which the seed is sown in. But the seed is what brings forth the Christ. And you must hold fast the seed, not be a miscarrying womb, right? Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, to whom we proclaim, admonishing every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ. That we may present every man perfect in Christ. In other words, this is talking about manifestation. See, we preach the wonderful mystery of Christ in you, the holding fast of the seed of the Word as the mother of God. You understand? The mother of the Son of God being manifested in us. Right? Present every man perfect in Christ, that we may present every man perfect in Christ. Well, I thought we were already perfect. Yes, we are by faith, and now he's talking about manifesting that faith. Faith is the substance of the thing hoped for, while the evidence is not yet seen. See? So faith gives us this substance as a position in Christ until the manifestation comes. It's like believing for a healing. It's nice to believe for healing. It's a whole lot better to get one. Right? And the faith is just a meantime substance. God wants to manifest that healing, that delivers, that provision to us. And that is Christ in us. This is what we hold fast to. We're not shaken away from. We're not going to let the devil steal it from us. It's our right in Jesus Christ. And he goes on to say, whereunto I labor also striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. The Lord is working in us to bring this to pass. And the Lord was working through Paul as a minister to share this wonderful mystery, this revelation, with the disciples in those days. And now, once again, we're entering into the time where God is going to share this wonderful revelation in these days with his people. And he's going to work mightily through his ministers, and he's going to work mightily through his people to manifest Christ in them. It's a wonderful revelation, and it's a wonderful fulfillment. Christ is once again going to walk in this earth because God's people are going to believe, like 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 says, he shall come to be glorified in his saints and marveled at in all them that believe, because our testimony unto you was believed in that day. Paul was even saying that he didn't think it was believed in his day. Our testimony unto you was believed in that day. In other words, God is going to share special grace with his people to believe once again this mystery of Christ in you, the hope of glory. And glory to God. We are the mother of Christ when we hear and do the word of God. We're not hearers deluding ourselves, beholding our natural face in the mirror. We behold in the mirror the glory of the Lord and are transformed into that same image from glory to glory. We accept from the beginning that Christ now lives in us, that we no longer live. We accept it from the beginning. We accept it by faith. And because we accept it by faith, God says it's going to be manifested, you see. So glory be to God. This is the perfection in Christ that we have in Christ and that will be manifested through us in Christ. This is that perfection. And also, this word in verse 14, back in Luke chapter 8, and that which fell among the thorns, these are they that have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with the cares and the riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. Bring no fruit to perfection. And the word perfection here is a strange word. It's not used anywhere else in the Bible. It's the word telesphoreo. And there is a common word for perfection, teleos. It's used commonly in the Bible, but this word is telesphoreo, and it means to bring to completion or end in view. End in view. In other words, we have to see the end from the beginning. We have to call those things that be not as though they were. We're beholding in a mirror, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. We behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Well, now that's having farsightedness, right? To look in the mirror and see Jesus. We behold in the mirror the glory of the Lord and are transformed into that same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. And he prefaces that with, we behold with an unveiled face the glory of the Lord. So, this telesphoreo, we're seeing the end from the beginning. We're seeing it and we're accepting it. And we're walking towards it, and we're going to receive it by faith. Isn't it awesome? Isn't it awesome, God's promise to us? Oh, praise be to God. Listen, saints, get in the Word of God. It's the only thing that brings forth Jesus. Love the Word. Reject, cast down the words of man. God bless you, and we'll study again.
For For information, materials, and to contribute, go to www.americaslastdays.com. Contributions only may be addressed to David Eales, Post Office Box 23-1616, Montgomery, Alabama 36123.
Quench my thirsting soul, pure as water made me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true, oh Jesus.
Trust.